Now, I know it's been several weeks since we took our first steps into this new series, and we actually had started with going through the motions of prayer, and how many times we just pray, because that's what we're supposed to do. We're just going through the motions. We looked at that time, how to enhance our prayer life so that it would be more than just, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, or dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this food, blessed to my body, amen. You know, something more than that. And it wasn't just then something that we would do because, well, that's what we're supposed to do as Christians, pray. So this week we're going to do the same thing, but with this thing called devotions, okay? And I don't dislike the word, but I almost dislike the word. Because devotions, what is it? What is it? I'm having my devotions. Everyone does it differently too, I think. There isn't a right way or a wrong way to do it. Whatever you call it, devotions, quiet time, God and I time. I know someone that says, this is my spend time with Jesus time, okay? And I like that. I really like that. But I'm going to ask a series of questions here very quickly now. And as I ask those questions, keep in mind, please don't raise your hands, okay? I don't want to embarrass anyone. So just in your head, raise your hand mentally in your head, so to speak. These are questions to cause us to do some honest self-evaluation with these questions. So here we go with the first one. How many of you had your time every day this week? Now, just in your head, raise your hand or don't raise your hand, okay? How many of you have a designated time and place to have your time with God? Some of you, that would be good, okay? Now, if you had your time with God at all this week, okay, how many of you remember some key truth or an interesting passage that you read and it just kind of stuck with you? You found yourself thinking about it during the day, and here you are 3 days later, and that thought, that passage just keeps coming to your mind. Did we lose some of you there? Your hands went down maybe on that one? How many of you can't remember a thing about what you read this week? That's possible. Now, how many of you that got something out of your time with God, you've used that thing practically in your daily life since you got that thing out of your time with God? You have found yourself using that. Maybe a key verse or principle hit you, and it just changed the way you approached a situation that happened maybe yesterday or 2 days ago. Because of what you had read in God's Word. Now, it's okay. Probably all of us would have dropped our hands by now. I don't think it's anything to be ashamed of. This is just an honest look at where we are at and why we need to look at this. Reading the Bible, I mean, if you've spent time reading the Psalms, okay, listening to David talk about his devotions, okay, his time with God, it's like, wow, I've never experienced that before. I've never had a time like that. And he's praising through the Psalms, and he writes a psalm, and it's like, whoa, where did that come from? I must have missed that page in the Bible or something. And David, he wasn't just going through the motions like we do. This is what devotions are for. We need help in this area. We need help for us to grow spiritually. We need help, and that's going to come from God's Word. We need help to change us to be more like Christ. And that help isn't going to come from a rah-rah encouragement, motivational cheer from your pastor or from someone else at church. That's not lasting. It's got to come from God's word if we're going to change, okay? Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 16. See if this characterizes you. Thy words were found, I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. When was the last time you felt like that about your Bible reading, your devotion time? It was just the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Reading God's word, understanding God's word, so that we can do God's word. That's what makes our time with God's word more than just going through the motions. Here's what I think is a seriously sobering verse. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, he's not talking about unsaved people being destroyed. My people are destroyed because they have a lack of knowledge. So Hosea is talking about God's people there. For us today, that would mean us as Christians. We can be destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Going through the motions of devotions will keep our knowledge of the Bible at a baby level. We're just babes in Christ if we're just going through the motions. We never really grow spiritually. Peter tells us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So let's first talk about, I'm going to give you common causes for going through the motions. Common causes for going through the motions. There's 10 of them. Number 10, we're going to start backwards and work our way up to number 1, okay? Number 10, a lack of devotional plan of what to read. When we don't have a plan, we tend to just go through the motions. Number 9, no consistent time designated each day. We'll fit it in when we can get it. If we can get it, that's good. But when we do get it and we do it, we're just kind of going through the motions because we had time and we stuffed it in there. Number 8, the Bible is too difficult to understand. Now, if we believe that, okay, then we're still going to read our Bible because that's what we're supposed to do. Translated, that means going through the motions, right? Number 7, the Bible is boring. You get nothing out of it. Number 6, good intentions, but you always seem to get interrupted. Does that ever happen to you? I've got a solution for you. Get up at 5 o'clock. People don't call you at 5 o'clock in the morning. The only disruption I have at 5 o'clock in the morning are my two dogs that want to eat, then they want to go out. So I settle in with my coffee, and then they're barking because they want to come in. And it's 5 o'clock in the morning. I can't leave them outside barking. So that's about the only interruption I get there. Number 5. You get too convicted when you read God's word. Do you think some people have that thought about the Bible? Yeah, I think some do. But I got to read it because that's what Christians do. So I'll just read it real quickly. Oh, I'll just read a little devotional booklet. Because that's got one little verse, but mostly it's someone else's words. And those can speak to your heart too. I understand that. But not like the word of God can. Mark Twain once said this about number 5. He said, most people are bothered by those scripture passages that they can't understand. Oh, it's just driving me crazy. I can't understand this verse. Here's what he said, but not me. The passages in scripture that trouble me most are those which I do understand. Number 4, you're too tired at the end of the day and seem to always fall asleep during your devotions, okay? You wake up at 2 in the morning, your face has been drooling in Psalm 37 or wherever you were at when your head fell, okay? Number 3, your schedule is too busy You have no time to read like you would like to. I know I told you before, when I was in sales, I saw at a Christian bookstore a devotional book, 5-minute devotions for the busy businessman. Like, I'm busy, but I got to do this. I got to just go through the motions. Number two, it's your Christian duty or obligation. You know it's what you need to do. And then number one, it's not as important as other things in your life. You just don't see the value in it. Let's face it. Face this, folks. We do the things we want to do in life. That's true. We do the things we want to do. But Pastor, you don't understand. Let's say it's someone in my Sunday school class, okay? Those 20-somethings. Pastor, you don't understand. I am so busy. I mean, I'm going to school and I'm working these many jobs, and then when I get home, I gotta do this. And then I gotta study and I gotta write these papers. I am just so busy. But if that person was getting married next Monday, they'd find time for that, wouldn't they? Of course. We have time to do the things that we want to do, the things that are important to us, okay? For example, we eat when we're hungry, don't we? And if we can't, as soon as we can, we're taking a break to eat, because that's important. We work to provide sustenance for the family. That's important to us. So we work. We shop or golf or hunt because it's fun or relaxing. Or we just turn the TV on and just chill at the end of the day because we find that relaxing. See, we do the things that are important to us. Now this is what's going on, isn't it? I would think most people. Our next question to answer following this one is, how can God's word impact us more? How can God's word impact us more? And that's where we're going to be at in Psalm 119. And if you would look with me first at verse 97, 119 and verse 97, David writes, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." So here's the first way, that God's word can impact us more, by revering it, having reverence for it. It is something important. How I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. David is just pouring out his heart by saying how much he loves God's word. Have you all ever heard me talk about, I guess I could call them love letters that I got from my wife when we were in college? Have you heard me talk about those before? Yeah. Once? More than once. Okay. And the Kathy shrine I had in my dorm room, okay? This is kind of what David's doing here. He's just saying how much he loves God's word. And let me give you an illustration this way. Let's say you have $1 million waiting for you, but you never thought it valuable enough to go pick it up. Now, someone calls you from Springfield and they say, "Hey, when you were here at the store, you dropped a dollar. I saw you drop it, and somehow I tracked you down and I have your dollar bill, okay? You just come to meet me at this dark parking lot after midnight," and "I left it with the clerk at the store and you can pick it up next time you're in Springfield," okay? How many of you would actually drive back to that store and get that dollar bill? Probably not too many. Dan, maybe. I saw some people point at Dan. Oh, Jackie. Okay. Yep. This is Jackie. Tight. Most people wouldn't drive back for the dollar. Why? It's not important. It's not valuable to them. But $1 million? Woo! I wouldn't wait till the next time I was in Springfield. Okay? Guys, it's kind of like your wife's purse. Has this ever happened to you before? You're traveling, okay, and you're on your way home. This may have happened to somebody that I know, okay, I can't say who. And let's say they stopped in Bloomington, and it was late at night, and they got home, and it's like a little after midnight maybe, and this person realized that his spouse didn't have her purse with her. And they realized they left it at Taco Bell, hypothetically, in Bloomington, okay? And it's 12:30 or 11:30, whatever it was. And so this guy calls Taco Bell in Bloomington, hypothetically, and the cleaning guys are there, and they said, yep, the purse is here. We'll wait for you. We're going to be here cleaning the floors or whatever for a while. So guess what I did? The next time I was in Bloomington, this guy, yeah. This guy jumped in the car that night, drove there, got it, and then came back home and had to go to work the next morning, okay? Why did he do that? Because that thing had value to it, and because that thing had value to it. We'll just leave it at that, right? But I wouldn't have done that for a dollar bill. I don't think I would have done that for a $10 bill. Not all the way back to Bloomington, late at night. Forget about it. Happy tip, guys. There you go. Okay. Listen to the attributes of God's word. Maybe this is part of our problem. We don't really see it as valuable. Listen to the attributes of God's word that make it worth being revered and valued. Take these verses this week. I think I have them in your notes. Do I? The references? Okay. Take these verses this week. Look them up. Read them. Just meditate on them. Don't read the list. Check the checkbox. Okay, I did it. I'm done. Think about these verses. Let God plant them in your heart. Meditate on them. Here's some attributes of God's word. Psalm 12:6. God's words are pure. His words are pure. Psalm 19:7. God's word is perfect and converts the soul. It is more desirable than gold. God's word cleanses us from weakness or wickedness. God's word in our hearts keeps us from sin. God's word brings strength to us. It's a lamp that guides our path. God's word brings joy. God's word brings life. God's word is powerful. And that's not the entire list of attributes of God's word. This thing that we struggle going through the motions with, I think it might change if we stop and just start putting the value on this that is there. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can penetrate it? Who can get into it? God's word penetrates the heart. Sharper than any two-edged sword, okay? Only God's word can do that. Psalm 119, verse 98. Let's go on to another one. Verse 98, it says, thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. Through thy commandments have made me wiser than mine enemies. Reflecting on God's word. How can God's word impact us more? By reflecting on it. Verse 99, it says, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Letter C is retaining it. Retaining it, and the verse for that, let me make sure I've got this. Okay. letter C, by retaining it. Meditation, okay, it means to mull it over. Not one and done. We're just going to mull it over, to ponder it. Imagine. Study. One of the things that I like to get the choir to do when we're singing music in our practice times is to picture that song and the words of that song as if some Hollywood director grabbed those words and decided to make a movie out of it. Okay? Now, that had a huge impact on us as a choir when we did that with Behold Our God. Okay? I mean, you could just visualize and see those words coming to life. What were we doing? Meditating on the words of that song. Okay? When we study, when we ponder something, mull it over, think about it, we retain its meaning much more than just reading it through and saying, I got it done. It's like memorizing it. It stays with you. And I didn't say we're memorizing it. We're just meditating on it, mulling it over, and it's like we're memorizing it. It sticks with us. What do you fill your mind with? We're filling our minds with something. Do you fill your mind by reading about your favorite hobby? Okay. Who in here has a hobby? Okay. Kathy, what's one of your hobbies? Quilting. Okay. Whew. I couldn't talk to you 10 seconds about quilting. Okay. Now, I've seen it done before, briefly. I think it was an episode of Little House on the Prairie or something, or the Waltons. No, I'm just kidding. I've seen some amazing quilts, okay? You could probably talk a long time about it. You've probably read some magazines and articles and watched videos and all kinds of stuff like this. She'd be the go-to person for quilting if you had a question about it, okay? Because she knows quilting. She knows her stuff. She's studied it, she's pondered it, she's read it, she's thought about it, okay? And if you're involved in woodworking or mechanics or whatever your hobby is, you know it and you can converse about it because you find value in it and you have studied it and pondered it. Are you an expert gardener, maybe? A fisherman, stamp collector, investor, pianist, cook, seamstress, whatever it is. There's nothing wrong with any of those things that we like to do. But what about becoming an expert in meditating and memorizing God's word? Because that will pay dividends like we just mentioned above. Psalm 119, verse 100, it says, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. So letter D is going to be by revealing it. Okay, we're revealing it in our life. In other words, we're practicing it. We keep the precepts. We read it, we meditate, we understand, and then we actually do. Let's not miss this wonderful truth here. It's the keeping of God's word that brings great understanding to us. Reading it doesn't do it. We've got to add the keeping of it. Verse 101, it says, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. So letter E, by refraining from sinful habits, our pet sins that we may have. It's like the woman who found that when she missed her quiet time each morning, she tended to lose her temper more often. Have you ever noticed that? When you don't have that time with God, you're just crankier during the day or something like that. And her young son reminded her one day of her need for time in God's word after she went into a tirade. Now, let me just clarify. I'm not speaking hypothetically to protect anyone else in here on this one, okay? She went into this tirade for him accidentally spilling his drink at lunchtime or something like that. And after she was through with her tongue lashing and just venting her frustrations, because she just had enough, that this little boy... Oh, I could so see my grandson Jet doing this in a year or so. This little boy quietly replied, "Mom, did you forget to spend time with Jesus this morning and ask him to help you to be nice today?" Oh, boy. As a parent, what do you do at that point? I'm sorry, right? Verse 103, let's skip down to 103, says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Now, it's kind of like David the prophet that we had read earlier, where he talks about how it's just sweetness, it's joy and rejoicing when he spends time in God's word. Here's this, another verse like it. God's word is sweetness to me. What's your favorite candy? Anyone want to venture it up? You might have some show up at your birthday. It could be like in your best interest. Favorite candy, somebody. What's that? Anything chocolate? Toffee? Okay. All right. Anyone else? We're taking orders. Skittles? Reese's peanut butter cups. Okay. But they got to be cold. Like, keep them in the refrigerator. They can't be soft and gushy. No. Okay. Anyone else? Your favorite candy? Tootsie Rolls. All right. Have you ever seen those Swedish fish? Those little red chewy fish? Man, I love those things. Right now, my mouth is watering thinking about them. How many of you, your mouths are watering thinking about your favorite candy? Okay? Just the thought of it. You can't... Some of you are going to leave here tonight and go buy something. I predict... I am a prophet, okay? You're going to go to the store and you're going to buy that favorite candy, and you're not going to be guilty about it if you're on a diet, because you'll blame it on me. I'm the one that tempted you to do it. Blame me. I don't care, okay? But we think about that, and we have a reaction when we think about our favorite candy and the sweetness of it. We enjoy it. We can't wait, maybe, to go get it. Once we have one, aren't you glad Reese peanut butter cups come two in a package? Yeah, you have one and you want another one. Boom, there it is. Thank you, Jesus. There it is, right? David wrote, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." He's just poetically revealing how he feels about God's word, the kind of response that God's word has in him, okay? He can't wait to get it. And once he gets a little, he's got to get some more, maybe, is perhaps what he meant in that poetry that he wrote there. Either way, the word of God is a good thing to him. Just like candy is, our favorite candy. So, letter F. Rejoice in them. Rejoice in them. What's the sweetest thing you can think of? We would say dessert. We went through all of our favorite candies. Maybe candy's not your thing. I know someone in here loves ice cream. Okay? They're all about ice cream. Oh, there's two. There's one. There's two here. For those ice cream lovers, someone showed me a week ago. You know those Keurig coffee machines? You put in the little pod, press a button, and you get this coffee like that. They have a machine out. It's called Snow White. Same concept. Spits out ice cream. You put in a pod. I don't know what kind of chemicals are in there. Okay. Jim's got three on pre-order right now, I think. You put in a pod, press a button, boom, you got ice cream, soft serve, I don't know what it is. But imagine that at the press of a button, okay? Next mission trip we go on, we'll be taking an extra suitcase for Snow White, okay? She's going to come with us so we can have ice cream anytime, anywhere. Now, God's word is sweeter than the best dessert possible. Our desire for God's word should be like our mouth-watering desire for a delicious dessert. That's what our desire should be. And if it's not, it's proof that we're just going through the motions. And we've got to do something to correct that. Do we have that kind of a desire? So how do we stop going through the motions? Let me just give you four practical suggestions that will help us stop. Ultimately, it's a heart problem. Okay, it's a heart issue. We need to go to God and say, God, I'm just going through the motions. Please forgive me. Return your joy to my heart when I'm in your word. First of all, give God the best part of your day, not the end of the day. If you can fit it in when you're worn out and tired, been beat up by the world and coworkers or whatever else. Give them the best part of your day. Number two, don't just read. Meditate. Think about it, mull it over, study it. How does this, okay, so this thing that happened at work yesterday, this thing that happened between me and my spouse yesterday, here I am reading this verse. How would this verse have applied to that yesterday? And you're thinking through that. What are you doing? You're meditating. That's all meditating is, okay? Number three, journal your thoughts daily. Now, I didn't say keep a diary. Okay, journal it. Have a notebook and just write down something in a verse that stuck out to you. Write down the verse. Write down your thoughts as God's giving them to you about that verse. Why do that? You say, well, I don't need to do that. A lot of guys would probably say that. Why do that? Because it's a proven fact. Those of you that have teaching degrees, you know this, okay? You hear something, your memory retention is about like this, okay? You hear it a second time, it's a little bit more. If you see that same thing, your memory retention of that thing is even more. That's why teachers use visual aids, okay? If you read it, hear it, see it, okay? Your memory retention goes up. If you write it, your memory retention goes even more up. You can't remember what you read in your Bible yesterday? This is going to help. This will help drastically right there. And then number four, make application of the scriptures. Apply it to your life. Ask yourself the question, I know I've thrown it out before, how do I do this verse? Here's this passage. Now, how do I do this verse? My Bible studies, my one-to-one Bible readings that I do during the week, there's several of them that I do. That's a lot of time what we spend our time on. We read a passage in the Bible, and then we just talk about it, make sure we understand it. And then all of a sudden, God just kind of moves in there and starts in our conversations bringing up how, oh, yeah, I really blew it last night or yesterday or here's how we could do this. Do this verse. It's amazing. That's applying the scriptures. Once we know how to use it, we're more apt to do it. Actually do scripture like we looked at in the beginning. Okay, we're going to stop there. Let's go ahead into our prayer groups.